Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. 503-733-2970. Rick, Sarah's new catchphrase should be, and if you see me out and about, please buy me a vodka soda, extra Xanax. Stephen Kemp.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, in a few moments here, we'll welcome Scott Daly to the Rick Emerson Show. Don't forget to like us at 3, Dynamike at 7. At the Ministry of Truth, it is Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
There are no survivors after an airplane crashed in Los Angeles.
Tim!
This happened in the Valley of Van Nuys. Pilot Jeff Van Dispen says he was about to take his own plane up, and he noticed the jet having trouble taking off.
I'm sorry. Let's see. This is, Is Sarah's my computer up?
No.
But I need
well,
to play...
take my word for it.
I need to play this, and I need to play this, this soundbite here. All right, are we ready?
Yes.
All right.
It just cleared the house. This house is, these folks are probably the luckiest people in the world, but it just missed that, veered off to the left of it and crashed right over there. And when I got here, I could see pieces of engine and, you know, debris and...
Oh, my God!
I didn't pick this!
Are you serious? That is just mean. I would never do this to you, Tim.
I'm just stating facts of news. Meanwhile, Idaho's governor says he supports killing all the state's gray wolves. All 100 of them. After the federal government strips them of protection under the Endangered Species Act, Governor Butch Otter says he wants to kill 550 gray wolves. Apparently,
I thought there were only 100.
That's what he said, didn't he? Apparently he can't. First he says there are 100. Then he says there are 550 of them. So I don't know how Butch counts.
I don't know. Let's just go back to the airplane story over and over again. You seem to deliver that one with no trouble.
It just cleared the house. This house is, these folks are probably the luckiest people in the world. But it just missed that, veered off to the left of it and crashed right over there. And when I got here, I could see pieces of engine and, you know, debris. And the plane was just completely engulfed in flames.
I missed that part the first time we played it. Yes, they are the luckiest people in the world.
I'm going to get so drunk.
Why wait till the flight? Here's Tim Riley.
This story comes to us from Florida.
Yeah. Oh, you weren't even in the running. You weren't even
that
in
was
it.
Totally me.
No.
A man who tried to keep bees off his property accidentally set fire to his house instead, causing at least $500 in damage.
$500?
At least $500.
This could cost tens of dollars of damage. At least. Have we all gone insane?
You know, this is Florida, mind you. This is the South.
Okay. The thing is, I'm feeling much more sane and stable and rational today, but I do think that everybody else is just... I think my insanity has just sort of gone airborne, and everyone else has it now. $500 in damage?
$500 in damage.
He set fire to his home, and that's what it cost?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Franklin Pickett Jr.
Pickett.
Mixed a product called Real Kill Indoor Fogger with WD-40.
Real Kill.
It became a flamethrower and melted the home's vinyl siding, causing $500 in damage.
Oh, bam! Oh, God.
I don't know what his deductible is.
I love this show. Real Kill.
Okay. That's it for now. We'll return at a later time.
We'll do another visit to the Ministry of Truth before the end of the program, ladies and gentlemen. All right, damn. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the... to the Rick Emerson Radio... No, it's not there. To the Rick Emerson Radio program.
Brilliant.
No, this isn't it either. I don't know what it is. Hello, Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. How are you, sir?
Oh, man, this has just been the best week for this show.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, man.
I've got to tell you, the Suburban Perspective with Scotty J is the best damn bit of radio I have heard in years. I've been in my office all week laughing like a fool. My office mates are like, what is wrong with you? Gold, my friend. Gold.
He really is one of a kind.
And then to add frosting to that cake, his new sounder.
Oh, with the... Try
his new sounder on a head full of Viso, and I guarantee you it'll explode.
The best part is...
This goes on.
Every time you think it's done, like it sort of builds. And then there's sort of a...
We'll fade down now. We're good.
It's genius. It's no fog hog, which we
how,
never...
Where is that?
It's right here. It's the... We never did find out what this was for.
More fog.
We pulled that out of the cart rack. We pulled that out of the cart rack back by Tim's prep area because we're going to be, and again, we can announce this, we're going to be leaving the studio soon in 17 days.
Fantastic.
The Monday, January 29th, will be our first day in the new studio, which is good because I'm beginning to think that this one is filled with some sort of gas that renders us all nutty when we come in here. So we're cleaning out, and as we were cleaning out, we found all of these out of these carts, including this one called Fog Hog. And we still haven't figured out exactly where it's from. So there you go. Coming up later on in the hour, we have Tony Starlight, also another visit to the Ministry of Truth. First of all, let's get this out of the way. So what's new at filmfeverradio.com?
We have a new show that will be up later this evening, regular time in the evening on Friday. This week's show, we actually got a sneak peek of Tony Starlight's Supper Club. Tony graciously invited Aaron and myself to come down and, sing a little ditties, to just enjoy the club before it opens up
now,
next week.
Is this a nightclub?
An actual supper club that Tony is opening in the Hollywood District. I believe I'll let him give the opening date, but it's within the next week or two.
And so you guys are taping the show, they're sort of Dinner for Five style?
Yeah, exactly. For the show, for last night's show, it's exactly Dinner for Five style. And we are going to be recording the show at least once a month at Tony's Club in front of a live audience.
Oh, okay. So is it during business hours or is it like
in the evening.
Fantastic.
It's going to be in the evening. We're going to be sounds between two acts. I believe there's going to be different jazz shows, different Dixie band shows, just all kinds of places. It's a really good old-fashioned supper club.
Excellent.
And we're going to be part of that, which we're really excited for. And so that's coming up. But yeah, this week's show isn't really about films per se. Just kind of, we talk about films a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's more of an introduction to Tony's place and welcoming Tony Starlight back to the Portland area.
We're gonna have him on later in the hour because I kind of missed that era of Portland. I know that
missed some good times.
He was in the 90s. He was really big. So we'll talk to him later in the hour. Last week we had talked about movies. We'd started it. We'd veered towards this topic of because you were talking about 2006 really being the year the bad sequel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the only one that really, because you had some list, you were talking about 2006 being defined by that it was all terrible sequels all the time.
It really was. I think the only really, there were two very solid sequels last year, Rocky Balboa and Clerks 2. Everything else, let me jog your memory a little bit, Rick Emerson. Basic Instinct 2.
Oh, I never even saw that. Did that even play here?
It did. It played for about a week and a half. It was terrible.
Did you see it?
I saw a screening of it, yeah.
Oh.
Actually, Basic Instinct 2 came out in March, so that was even before Film Fever Radio got.
Is it bad enough to be enjoyable?
Barely.
Really?
Yeah, it's not Showgirls bad.
Does Sharon Stone look all haggard and terrible?
Oh, she looks awful. They tried to really jazz her up a little bit and make her look all hot and Catherine Tremel-like, but it just doesn't work.
Well, she was really...
The story is atrocious. It's a train wreck.
Not even so much in Basic Instinct, but in... God, what the hell? Sliver? Is that the movie we're talking about?
With Billy Baldwin.
Yeah.
She was cute in Sliver.
You know, I like Sharon Stone. I've always had a little thing for her. And Basic Instinct sure helped that, Sliver. But she real nailed it for me in Casino, because she was... Not only was she a really solid actress in Casino, but she looked amazingly gorgeous.
You know that she's making a Basic Instinct 3, too.
No, she's not.
No, she is, and she's writing and directing it herself.
Oh.
It was in...
Wait. Three words. Straight to video.
No, I read it in, it was some British newspaper. She was being interviewed. She was doing a press tour for Basic Instinct. And I don't even know what the point of that is.
No, God.
And she was talking about how she's already got, I've already written a treatment for the third one, and I'm going to be directing.
Does it really need a treatment?
No. Really? How many ways are there, I'm going to show my crotch, and then I will stab a guy.
Exactly.
And it's how many ways are there really to fry that egg? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not going to go any further than that. So. Speaking of press tours, Film Fever Radio got invited in, I believe, the second or third week in February. We are going to go to Seattle to interview Billy Bob Thornton and Virginia Madsen
for
a film called The Farmer Astronaut.
Now, what do I know? Oh, I saw the preview for that.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer for that at Good Shepherd. It was looked fantastic.
Yeah, so we get to go up to Seattle to interview Billy Bob Thornton and the director and writer. They're brothers Mark and Michael Polish, who did Twin Falls, Idaho.
Now, where do I know Virginia Madsen from?
She, she's Michael Madsen's brother.
Sister,
sorry. Her brother. And she's had a long career in film. I off the top of my head, I can't think of anything she was in.
She
pops up in everything.
Yeah, I mean, she looked like somebody that I sort of know.
She's very, very attractive.
Now, 2006 had the Bond film, though, which was a great... I mean, that was...
You're right, Casino Royale. Yeah,
that was...
Yeah.
I mean, which I didn't see... I'm not a huge Bond fan, so I'm going to wait for that on DVD, because I'm not a Bond guy.
So we can talk about a few of the good sequels. Well, some of the bad sequels. Basic Instinct 2. For me, the biggest disappointment of the year, sequel-wise... would have to be X-Men: The Last Stand.
Oh, well, why would you?
It was just bad.
I never even saw that. Why would you expect anything?
Well,
from
I just when Bryan Singer left the project, I knew right there it was doomed.
Oh, let's talk about. And speaking of that, let's talk about Superman Returns.
No, I can't. I like Superman Returns.
There's nothing to me. The Superman Returns has nothing to recommend it.
Really?
There's nothing to recommend it except what's his name, Brandon Routh.
Brandon Routh. Yeah.
And here's the thing. And I don't mean to sound like a cynic about it, but the only thing. Here's the thing about that movie is he's great, but he's only great because he's mimicking Christopher Reeve. That's the thing. All of the great moments. Superman Returns is a lot like Rocky Balboa, which I actually like, though. Rocky Balboa, though, is the same character, the same actor, and he's closing out the series.
Right.
And he's bidding farewell, and so he's bookending it. Because I watched the original Rocky again the other night, because Laura hadn't seen it for like 10 years. And so I was like, oh, we got to see it again. Because I had seen Rocky Balboa over Christmas. And I was like, oh, we got to see the original Rocky again, because I want to make her see Rocky Balboa at some point. Anyway, so... I go back and I watch the original Rocky, and I didn't, and I won't give anything away because it's still in theaters, but I didn't realize just how many scenes from the original Rocky, and I know he did this intentionally, he mirrors in Rocky Balboa. I mean, there's a lot of them. And, like, all the way down to those guys on the corner who are singing that, like, Take Me Back song, which totally comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And... that in the opening sequence of the original Rocky, where Rocky is in the ring and he's fighting a spider, whatever his name is, he's fighting that boxer, and that boxer is the same guy who's in Rocky Balboa that is eating at his restaurant that's like getting the free meal or whatever, blah blah blah. So he intentionally does all that stuff. Superman Returns is the same way to me. But it was much more cynical. It was like they knew they didn't have a very good film. There wasn't a whole lot to recommend it. And so they just fell back on mimicking the original Superman. And all of the things that I liked about Superman Returns, I would not have liked because I wouldn't have recognized them as being callbacks to the original.
Hmm.
Like the font at the beginning where they're doing the Superman, you know, the old school Richard Donner Superman font. Oh, boy, speaking of that.
See, I like that, though. I thought that was a nice touch, because that made me excited for the film.
That's a whole lot of groping my childhood.
When the music came up, the John Williams score enhanced just a little bit, the way the font came at you at the screen, that made me feel like I was, you know, 9 years old again. That's what I liked about
Superman. Yeah, but that's the whole point, because you're a Gen Xer, and he's just reaching in there, and he's massaging your wallet.
That's fine. It worked. Yeah. It worked. I'll take it.
Well, all right. I'm just saying. To me, it was just like the most cynical manipulation. I just watched Superman, and I could totally feel that there was just nothing... They had nothing to do film-wise, and so they're like, well, I'm just going to reference a whole bunch of things that'll make Gen Xers cry. Watch. Which is exactly why, speaking of bad sequels, as we sort of transition into 2007, that's why Indiana Jones 4 is going to be bad. Because you know that Indiana Jones 4 is just going to be a whole lot of self-referential internal crap that just harkens back to the previous three.
I can't bring myself to say it's going to be crap yet.
It's going to be, crap.
I've got hope that Spielberg and Ford are going to... I know Lucas is attached, and that kills me, but I'm rooting for him.
Not going to happen.
I'm rooting for him. Sadly, I think you're right, but I'm rooting for him.
What else? What's coming up in 2007 that you're looking forward to?
There's two coming straight away in the next 3 or 4 months. One is 300.
Frank 300.
Miller, that was just fantastic. And we just got the graphic novel this weekend, and it's beautiful. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous book.
The thing about that is, like, the trailer, and I don't really hold with the conventional wisdom, which is, like, that it's the best trailer ever, but the trailer is really powerful.
I would have to say it's one of the best I've ever seen.
I mean, it's good. I'm not going to say it's not good. I don't think it's quite as good as everybody else is saying it is. But it does make me want to see it.
Yeah.
It's one of those trailers that it promises all of this stuff that I hope it can deliver.
There's two more in the first quote unquote quarter of the year for the film for films. One I'm seeing tomorrow night.
which opens today at Cinema 21, David Lynch's Inland Empire.
Oh, right. Very you guys were talking
excited.
About that last
yeah,
week. Yeah,
so I'm all set. We're seeing that tomorrow night. I can't wait. That's one. And also, probably the one I'm looking forward to the most throughout the entire year is Grindhouse.
Oh, the right, Rodriguez, which is the Rodriguez-Tarantino thing, yeah.
That was outstanding.
And when does that come out?
That comes out April 7th.
Oh, and then there's that. Is it this year that Rob Zombie remake of Halloween comes out?
Yeah, I've got mixed feelings about that one, too, because I hate remakes, but in the hands of Rob Zombie, I think it'll at least look good.
Yeah. Rob Zombie's batting one for two.
Yeah, I know, He's batting 500 right now, but it's just, I don't know. The jury's still out for me on that one.
All right, we should take a break here. We'll come back. Here's what we got. We got Tim Ryan at the Ministry of Truth. We're here with Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. Later on here, we'll talk to Tony Starlight, making his return to Portland. We got Lycus at 3, Dynamike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Radio program. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, we got an answer on the Fog Hog. And we'll be back with Scott Daly in a moment. Tony Starlight, Lycus at 3, Dynamike at 7. Ladies and gentlemen, shall we pay a final visit to today's Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley?
And now, from the Ministry of Truth,
we shall.
This is Tim Riley.
The National Transportation Safety Board has released preliminary findings from the investigation into a single-engine plane crash that killed a Las Vegas couple, their daughter and their grandson, near Buchanan Field Airport in December. This is in California. Just before it crashed, the plane had gone off course and attempted to land at Concord Airport, but missed the approach to the runway and was flying too low. It crashed into the medium divider on State Highway 4, which is close to the airport, and then burst into a ball of flames. Meanwhile, three men who died in a plane crash south of Yellowknife in Canada last week were killed by the impact and not exposure to the cold.
Well, that's good, so it was fast,
says the coroner, Percy Kinney. Autopsy show Albert Docker, Patrick Alexander, and pilot Jeffrey Watt suffered fatal injuries when the Cessna crashed into a lake. I don't believe they all survived the actual impact, said Percy Kinney. If any of them did, it would have been a very short period of time, and certainly a time when they would have been completely unresponsive and unconscious. It took searchers more than 20 hours to reach the crash scene. The sole survivor, Alfred Tassetta, who was recovering at Edmonton Hospital, told investigators he believed the others were alive after the plane crashed into the frozen lake. Meanwhile, as the U.S. Tries to boost its Iraq forces, the Allies are leaving. Our great allies, the Armenians, will take out their 40 soldiers, as will the Estonians, who had 46.
Excellent.
Most are involved in baking biscuits and making gravy. Apparently, a love poem isn't always enough to get you what you want. Pete Doherty recently wrote Beyonce Kate Moss a love poem, which a supermodel left on the toilet floor.
Fantastic. Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
The singer penned the romantic verse for the catwalk beauty on the back of a hotel menu during the recent stay in Thailand, but soon after that, the poem was found discarded on the toilet floor at a hotel at the resort of, I believe this is pronounced Phuket, I would hope. Well, I can say that safely, can't I?
Phuket?
That's correct, yes.
In where? Thailand?
Yes.
Phuket?
Phuket, yes.
Yes, we'll call it
According
that.
To the Daily Mirror, Pete's sentimental words were, as we go into 2007, it feels like we're in heaven. Pete wearing his black hat and Kate in her white skirt. I was touched by that.
That doesn't even rhyme.
Wait, he wrote that last part?
Yes, apparently so, and it was left on the toilet floor. I think that's enough for today.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim, wait, hold on. Oh, but before you go.
Oh, I must hear that.
No,
yes.
Before we I don't even have the applause card. I believe we have an answer as to what the...
I love fog. More fog.
This guy claims to know...
You can see someone coming on the plane fog. Public address system as they're explaining fog. The safety features.
More fog.
Let's see. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Yeah, the Foghawk. KUPL plays that in the morning when it's foggy. Listeners will call in, and then they'll send out the Foghawk to gobble up all the fog so it clears up.
Does it work?
Oh, my God.
Sure.
Are you saying they did this in the past in a simpler, more naive?
I'm saying I've called in. I'm a truck driver living in St. Helens, and I called in probably about a month ago and had the Foghawk sent out up that direction in the morning. So it's all good.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
All right. There you go. That's Steve.
Fog. I love fog.
Now it's just
it's on its way to St. Helens.
Now it's just kind of sad.
Yeah, see? Yeah, I wish we wouldn't have known.
It's like okay. Telling people there ain't no Santa Claus.
All right, thank you. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, greatest newsman in all of recorded history.
Well, thank you. Everyone have a pleasant weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tim Riley. All right. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. It's just impossible to be angry with him. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. We're here with Scott Daly from filmfeverradio.com. Let's also welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Now, see, I grew up in the Northwest, and I'm from Washington, and I spent a lot of time in Portland growing up, and I never really lived here until, I don't know, probably 98 or so. So I think I missed the Tony Star, what historians now call the Tony Starlight era, the era of Starlight. Yes. But a lot of people, Joni DeRoshi was the first one to be like, you don't know Tony Starlight. And then my friend Lori was the same way. She was like, you don't know Tony. And it was like I'd never seen an episode of Gilligan's Island or something. They were appalled.
It's actually worse.
Scott Daly mentions. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Tony Starlight. Can we say making your triumphant return to Portland?
Thank you. Yes, you may say that. Yes, indeed.
All right. So give me the lowdown, the background, the history, the story, the scoop up till now, my friend. Who is Tony Starlight? What has he done for Portland? Where is he going now?
Oh, I built so many clubs. The 1201 Club, which is, of course, now I've closed more clubs probably than I've opened. But after I leave, they close.
Exactly.
So this is...
The Gypsy we used to do there. Jimmy Max, you've seen how big he is.
So this is a... it's like a nightclub... It's a nightclub act? Is it a...
It's a nightclub act.
I probably should ask Scott instead.
The easiest way to make people understand what it is, it's probably Weird Al meets Frank Sinatra. I'm funnier than Frank Sinatra, sing better than Weird Al.
You're more mobile than Frank Sinatra as well.
Yes.
And so, Scott, from your perspective as an audience member, this is a thing that you talked about, I know, Joni, is that you guys have had these conversations about going to see Tony do his thing. So, because I never saw him. So tell me a little bit about, what one experiences when you go to see Tony Starlight. It's like the X-Ray Cafe. That's another one of those things that I missed out on just because I wasn't here. So... Give us the scoop.
I think the thing that really you can expect when you go to a Tony Starlight show, and again, this is Tony Starlight circa 97, 98 versus Tony Starlight in today. It introduced a generation to the Frank Sinatra years and through the big band days with modern day pop culture. And that's what really kind of got me into the whole Tony Starlight world. And also, he used to call bingo at the Gypsy. Bingo night with Tony Starlight was fantastic. And just the whole act. He had a great band, the Artie Davis Trio, bass player, keyboard, drummer, and it just worked so well together. It was so entertaining, and you just went and you had a blast. It was a good time was had by all.
Now, did you run the clubs yourself in the past, or were you just performing?
Oh, no, just a performer.
Because you got your own place now.
Then, yes, I've come back, decided to get back into the business. Only if I could be an owner.
Because you were in L.A. for
Los Angeles, yes.
Yeah, see, Sarah, we were talking to Sarah's actually going to L.A. for the first time this weekend. And we're talking about what a grimy, relentlessly soul-crushing black pit of despair.
We were talking, I think my hotel might be in the ghetto.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe it probably will be.
Yeah.
I wish I could, some of the work I did with overprivileged children there... Wish I had some connections. Maybe you could stay in one of their homes.
Oh, no, I'm good. As long as the location's okay, I'm pretty good.
So when is the place just called Tony Starlight?
Tony Starlight.
Which is a great name.
Cool.
I mean, even if you were not a guy named Tony Starlight, it's a great name for a club. It totally sounds like a place you would want to go hang
Absolutely.
Out at.
Absolutely. It's my destiny.
So when is it open now?
Grand opening is next Friday evening. I'm going to have a...
band in there called Pork Pie, seven-piece sort of Count Basie-style Kansas City swing. The general feel of what we're going to do is the old-fashioned supper club and lounge idea, like popular in the 30s, where you go see a have dinner and a show, and old-style music, all like sort of pre-bebop jazz, and easy listening. We're also having a Neil Diamond birthday party on the 24th, Neil's 66th birthday, where you'll be able to sing with a live band your own karaoke version of a Neil Diamond song if you sign up for it.
Fantastic. And then on top of all that, you guys, Scott and Aaron, you guys are taping Film Phoebe. So once a month you guys are going to be...
Yeah, what we're going to do is on Tuesday evenings, we're going to let them tape their little geek cast in my friendly confines. We'll have a band playing while they're doing a set break. These clowns will get up and do their little shtick.
Fantastic.
And it should be a lot of fun. The first night we're doing it, the 22nd, we're having a gypsy jazz jam afterwards. So I would encourage the Geek Patrol to come dressed up as pirates and gypsies to give it that sort of flavor. Make I want it to feel like Comic-Con.
Will you accept Klingons?
So really there's...
Klingons are always welcome.
There you go.
So now you are armed in our studios with a ukulele.
Well, I happened to write a theme song for the new restaurant.
Fantastic.
Which I thought would explain kind of what we're doing there.
Right.
And I decided to put it in a 20s style because... There's no modern ukulele music. Till now, I know a place where we can go for drinks, dinner, music, and a show. I know a place where there's jazzy romance and all the gang wears their schnazzy pants. Once we get there, leaving will be hard. Just motor car your way up Sandy Boulevard. It feels the great way that folly should. Here at the gateway to Hollywood. At Tony Starlight's Supper Club and Lounge, we'll have a gay old time. At Tony Starlight's Supper Club and Lounge, it's more than swell, it's more than swell, it's more than swell, it's fine.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Tony
awesome.
Starlight, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, so now why did you give up? Because you were, I mean... You were big in, I mean, I don't mean big in Portland like big in Japan, but I mean, you were, I mean, people really loved you or they still talk about you. Why'd you give up performing?
Oh, well, I thought I'd try it in a bigger city, Los Angeles, and L.A. turned to be a film and television town, and I'm a live people town.
Yeah.
And so, you're sitting in a room kind of like this.
our news guy, Tim, spent, a decade there, and we have a lot of other friends of the show who lived there for a long time. And that's a place where I considered I actually lived in San Diego for a while, and my plan had been to live in L.A. And I stopped off to visit some friends in San Diego, and it was really beautiful, and I hadn't been there before. And then after having spent about a week there, I was like, well, I got to get moving. I got to get back up to L.A. And I was in L.A. for like 2 hours. And it's just, why have thou forsaken me, Lord? Why am I in this place? And you just begin to hate everything and everybody.
I had done a calculation, and I was spending more hours a day driving than sleeping.
Yeah.
I charted a course to return.
Yeah. It's a bad place. So what is the actual location of Tony's?
3728 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, corner of 37th and Sandy, in the Hollywood District. Used to be Blackbird Club, guess, years ago. We've reconfigured it, made it swanky, classy. I'm going to have valet parking there on Friday, Saturday.
Is it going to be open 7 days a week?
Every day but Sunday.
All right. So, and the actual opening date is when?
Friday the 19th.
All right, Friday the 19th.
And I'll have a website up early next week, www.tonystarlight.com.
Excellent.
I'll have all the particulars. You'll be able to find out. I will make my own personal debut with my show on Saturday the 27th.
That's what I was going to ask, if you were going to have like a standing gig there, if it was just going to be special
times
only.
Yeah, I'll be doing Saturday nights. In the beginning, I'll do Thursdays and Saturdays because it's been a while. And then I'll probably just slink back to a regular Saturday night show. And fill it up with some other clowns. Yeah.
Sounds very familiar.
I'm still looking for a schnazzy act as good as mine to book in there.
Attention,
so please.
Attention, clowns.
Send me.
Clowns wanted.
Send me your... we'll go to the website next week, probably by Tuesday, and send me your info.
Ply your clown trade with Tony Starlight.
Right. You know, it's going to be great because to this day, not that I know of, and Sarah, you probably more at this than I would, but there's no club like this right now in Portland.
Yeah.
And so this is damn
exciting. It's all just grime. All right, Tony Starlight, and coming soon, TonyStarlight.com for more information. So Tony Starlight opens the 19th. Sandy Boulevard. All right. Thanks for coming in, man. I appreciate
it. Thanks, Rick.
Good to finally kind of see you do your thing. I've never really
that
seen
that wasn't
you,
even my thing.
You work the magic. It's a tiny taste of the magic.
It's a tiny taste.
It's a little aperitif before the entire buffet.
That was the dinner mint.
We'll come back after this. We'll finish up with Scott Daly at FilmFeverRadio.com. Like us at 3, Donald Mike at 7. You stay there. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Rick Emerson Radio Program. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of our show. 503-733-2970. Make a note. We're back on Monday. Monday's holiday. I guess if you work for... It's like... Well, you have Monday off, you banking bastard.
I can take it off if I want to. It's not a paid holiday. If I want to take
it
off,
I'm so confused because my wife gets it off because she works for the man.
Well, that's the man. The bank isn't. The bank is almost.
Oh, and we're closed. Well, CBS is closed. We'll be here because the Rick Emerson Show cares. Yeah. But CBS is closed. No, nobody else is going
to
be here.
I'm still debating if I want to take the off or not.
Speaking of the saddest part of the broadcasting day,
Scotty J.
Hello.
Let's. Except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Hello, Scotty J. How are you, sir?
Doing great, Rick.
That sounds more and more insincere every time you do it. Are you covering...
Scotty coordinated the logo on his shirt with the T-shirt underneath and his watch face. And his shoes.
And his shoes. They're all orange.
Snap.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that we'd... I didn't know we'd enter that segment of the program. Wait, hold on. Let me just...
Yes, it is the saddest part. No, it's not suburban.
No, you're the one...
I've run out of suburban breath.
Okay.
It's true.
We were playing that Connie Chung thing earlier.
Yes, we were.
And you were trying to figure something out. What is it you were trying to figure out?
I got it handled. It was basically the... I was trying to figure out a song to put that
what was the song
James Brown thing.
What was the song?
Well, that's just it. I don't know, so I came really close with the one that we have.
But please now to be please now to be performing for us the song that you were trying to figure out the name of.
I can't even remember what the beat was.
No. You were doing it earlier.
I can't. It's like some kind of just like you heard.
Oh, now see, you're sandbagging
now. I can't remember the song.
In the hallway, Scotty was doing the most glorious impersonation of some techno song that he was trying to find, and you were doing it with all kinds of energy.
No, I'm not holding back for real. I can't for the life of me because I found that other song. It erased in my,
You were doing a whole Jeremy Piven in singles kind of a thing. He comes up to me in the hallway and he's like, Rick, what's that one song? And I go, and he goes, you know that one? That, da, 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 yeah, totally, exactly.
And of course, Rick is like, no, I don't know that one. I go, yes, you do. You do know that song.
And then he does it, and then he gets in my face again, like closer. He's all, and I'm kind of like pulling back because he's sort of freaking me out a little bit.
Right. I feel bad now because really that other song erased the memory of whatever song I was trying to think of.
All right. Well, thanks. Yeah. I was going to have a little clever bit here where you tried to perform the song for buddy, but now that's over.
Okay.
Thanks for helping. All right.
Have a good weekend.
Are you going to be at the game tomorrow? There's a game.
No, unfortunately. There's an anniversary deal we're doing.
Okay, are you and Mrs. J having an anniversary?
No, her parents.
Oh, okay. All right.
I want to say this about Scotty J. I've invited you to, what, 4 poker games now?
Yeah, and you never show up. And you talk so big.
I'll be there next time. I'll be there. You invite me. I'll be there. I'm done.
You really do talk so loudly about the fact that you're going to come and school us. And you boast a lot about being a really good card player. And you have yet to come to any of the games.
Well, card playing is how I, you know, can afford to be on the Rick Emerson show.
Okay.
But anyways, the reason why I can't show up is because something happens in the family. Like, we went to, you know, Central Oregon. And then, boom, I can't go to that, you know, poker game. And then this weekend, there's an anniversary. Something's always coming up.
Is that shirt made of satin? Are you wearing a satiny shirt?
No, it's, no.
All right. All right. Thank you, Scotty.
All right, we'll have a great weekend.
All right, appreciate it. All right. It's completely pointless. Completely wasted segment. No offense. We're here with Scott Daly from... Oh, God, I wish you could have seen him. I got to get, like, a Scotty cam that is mounted on, like, my eyeglasses. And so whenever I'm speaking to them in the hallway and he's doing something, it's, like, secretly taping into, like, my... It's taping into, like, a battery pack that I wear, like, in my pants or something, so that I can then offload the sound. All right. It's 503-733-2970. What is up at filmfeverradio.com right now? You've got kind of a Slack program going on.
We do. This week, it's not a Slack. It's a great program, but it's kind of a laid-back, fun episode. We found that our episodes of Film Fever Radio, where, oddly enough, we don't talk much about films, seem to be our most popular shows. So
go figure.
I call it, you know, whatever you want to say about that. Next weekend, we're going to be recording our first commentary ever of 2007. It's going to be Tombstone. We're inviting Siegfried.
Well, you're going to buckle under and finally...
No, I am not going to buckle. I'm going to get a lot of crap.
Well, you know, there's a reason nobody pushes to have a commentary for Wyatt Earp. Have you ever noticed that?
Because it's 3 hours.
No one in the circle has ever said, no, we really ought to balance this out with a Wyatt Earp showing.
I would not be for that either. It's a three-hour film, first of all. It'll be way too long.
All right. Well, let's take a few of these here, and then we'll turn it over to Tom Likas. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, listen, I've played poker with Scotty J many times.
Uh-huh.
And at Spirit Mountain one time, this Asian girl kept snapping him off, taking all his money, beating at him at every pot, and she stands up and she says, "You easy money." And he was so pissed. He goes, "I am not easy money."
That is fantastic. Oh, well, hold on a second. Now, why do we have to hold on?
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy.
You're not all right, you should come back in here. Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Demon.
All right, now Mike has hung up now. Is it true that at Spirit Mountain that you lost so much money to an Asian girl that she stood up and snapped at you? You easy money!
Yes, she did. That's pretty much... if you can think of a movie where you want to stand up at the table and you want to just flip the entire table with chips flying everywhere, that's what I wanted to do.
That's fantastic. How much did you lose to her?
I don't know. It just seemed like she was in on every single hand. Even when I had something good, she was in, and then she just snapped something off on the river.
What do you think?
Every time.
What do you think the reason for that is, Scotty?
The reason was she wasn't believing that I had anything, apparently.
Why do you think she was such a great poker player?
She thought I was easy money. I don't know.
Sounds like that was a well-founded belief, first of all.
Okay.
I'm going to rescind my uninviting you and invite you to every single game we play going forward.
Did you shout back at her did you shout back at her, "I am not easy money"?
Pretty much said something like that, and
were you pretty much drunk?
I was pretty much shaking livid that she would say that at the table.
Were there other men at the table?
I'm a poker player, can't you tell?
Okay.
That's the deal.
All right. Dennis Pitzenberger from the Fuel Show tomorrow, 9 to 11. What's up, sir?
Well, I was just going to chime in on Scotty J, because he is not, it's not so much the easy money he's good at, it's the way that he delivers the pizzas so well.
Because usually he's the first one out, so he goes to get the pizza.
And then he wasn't just the first one out, he was out like 5 minutes into the game. And we had agreed before the game, we're like, whoever goes out first has got to be the pizza bitch. And, you know, and Scotty, I'm all for that. That's a fine arrangement. Second hand, Scotty, I am all in! Bam! And then, like, 30 seconds later, I'll be leaving for pizza now. And it was so gratifying.
Well, I have to give him credit. At least he hung in there, stood his ground for another 45 minutes until the pizza was gone, and then he gracefully exited my home. I invite him to any game at any time.
The best thing was, too, and he's like, I got to use the bathroom. And it was gone. Gone, ran to the car.
Like the Blues Brothers. My brother's just going to go right at Shaq.
Yeah, we're going to duck out now. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right, goodbye.
All right, there you go, Dennis Pitzenbarger. And finally today.
Postman is the person in your neighborhood.
What a week. This week has just been exhausting. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying it's been an exhausting week. I'm ready for the weekend. I typically don't say that because I have no life and I have nothing exciting to do. A lot of people are like, I can't wait for Friday night because I'm going to go live it up. I'm working for the weekend. I'm not living anything up.
I'm going to see new David Lynch this weekend.
Yeah, I'm going out on the streets of L.A. tonight.
Yeah, see, you're going. Oh, you're going to be in L.A. tonight?
Tonight, yeah.
Damn, you got to, okay, and, oh boy, I wish I'd remembered that earlier.
I have new batteries in my camera.
Sarah, you have permission to drunk call me anytime you wish.
Seriously, what time do you get back?
Sometime on Sunday evening. Oh, I have my...
You are going to be so trashed on
Monday's
Monday morning.
Be a hard
you
day
are going to be... Monday's the worst day of your life.
I think we're flying back like four-ish on Sunday.
No, Monday
that's going to be a hard flight,
Monday
too.
Will be the... Monday will be the suck like you have never. I mean, it's just going to be off the charts. Not that you don't deserve it. I mean, it's, you know, everybody needs to go and sort of let loose every now and again. But I'm just saying. So, but I do not have that weekend. I have a lot of weekenders just sitting around and doing nothing. So, but I'm really actually looking forward to this week. Has just been exhausting for some reasons. Chris, what's up? I know we're kind of under the gun here, but what do you got, brother?
On your knuckles, boy.
How many?
You didn't get the top five. You didn't get the weekend geek, and you also didn't get the teased story about Star Trek.
Oh, I hate you.
So is that about four?
Six. That's six.
Six. All right.
Go.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Six. There you go. There's that redhead again.
All right. So you're paid up. You're zero.
There you go. Thank you. We got to run Tim Nazem tomorrow, 4 to 6. Fuel Show, 9 to 11. Sarah Dillon, Scott Daly, Tim Riley, Scotty J, Dave Zinn, etc. Have a good weekend. Be safe. Don't let the bastards grind you down. See y'all Monday. Bye now.